Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com and go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, why do married people cheat? This is the same topic that we had last week. I'm going to apologize for the short broadcast. I went back again today to talk about why do married people cheat. And moving forward, infidelity appears to be a common phenomenon. Are we naturally monogamous? Are we created to have multiple partners? We certainly have the ability and the desire to spread the love. Is it an old habit that is hard to break and does not simply go away because we said, I do? Why do people cheat after marriage? So cheating, come to terms with a brief definition of cheating, because cheating is different for everybody, but to act dishonestly or unfairly, that's basically what cheating is across the board. In relationships, you have to engage in a sexual relationship or sexually outside of the perceived monogamous relationship. So some people might say to engage in an intimate relationship outside of the perceived expectations of a monogamous relationship. So the truth about deception. Some people believe that it is unacceptable for a partner to do these things: flirt with others, engage in sexual talk with someone else, exchange personal emails or text messages, deny being married or in a relationship, spend time with specific individuals, engage in specific types of contact, sleeping in the same bed with another person, purchase intimate gifts and presents for others, chat online with someone else, have an online affair, that's some new stuff because of the technology, have sexual contact with someone else, physical infidelity, become emotionally involved with someone else, emotional infidelity, develop a crush or feelings for another individual, share their most private thoughts and feelings with someone else, become best friends with someone of the opposite sex, and the list goes, it's a thousand things from there, you know. The main point is that it differs from individual to individual what they consider to be acceptable, an acceptable form of contact with other people in a relationship. So, this is from Paired Life. A 2013 study from the University of Michigan addressed this very topic. So they asked, what are the behaviors and their rating from a score from 1 to 100. So a score of 100 indicated they definitely thought it would be cheating. So if it's a 1, not so bad. If it's 100, you out of bounds. So they asked these questions, and I'm just going to go through this very quickly. Penile or vaginal intercourse, 97.7. Oral sex, 96.8. Taking a shower together, 96.2. Kissing on the lips, 88.7, emailing pictures of themselves naked, 88.2, texting erotic messages, 82.6, watching pornographic movie together, 75.1, sleeping in the same bed, 68.4, holding hands, 63.2, staying in the same hotel room, 52.7, forming a deep emotional bond, 52.4, spending lots of time together, 52. I'm going to leave the point off this so I can get through this faster. So it's going to be at least the first number. So sitting in the other person's lap, 52 said that was cheating. So that means some people, that's like half of the people think that it's not cheating. So accompanying to a formal event, 43%. Going out to dinner, 41. Taking on the phone, talking on the phone several times a week, 40%. Giving $500 to another person, 37.6. Kissing on the cheek, 36. Sharing secrets, 36%. Supporting the other person financially, 35%. Hugging for more than 10 seconds. Don't forget, you guys, you got to count how long you hug somebody. Okay? So make that very quick. In some cases, and in some cases, it's not a problem. Calling when upset about their relationship partner. Ooh, people just don't like that, period. But it's only 33%. Taking a road trip out of state. Telling dirty jokes. Calling when upset about work. Hugging briefly, less than 10 seconds. See, some people, that's 12%. Not even, they say less than 10 seconds. Don't even do that. Giving $5 to the other person. 8.1, though. So this is a survey from 2014 by Victoria Milan, an online dating site for people who are in relationships. So y'all got that? These people are in relationships. It's an online dating service. So there's some clear distinctions between how men and women view cheating. 72% of men said sexual affairs were worse than emotional affairs. 69% of women said emotional affairs were worse than sexual affairs. 76% of women forgave their partner for sex for a strictly sexual affair. Only 35% of men would forgive their partner for a strictly sexual affair. 80% of men said they would forgive an emotional affair. Only 30% of women said they would forgive an emotional affair. That's very interesting numbers there. Another study showed that 55% of people never told their partner about their infidelity. So, you know what I mean? Everybody keep in mind, this is based on the study group, the group that they studied. So it's not necessarily go for everybody on the planet, but just from this study group. So many articles from different sources and dating websites that were exclusive to cheating spouses say men and women both cheat for similar reasons. They crave affection. In the book, The Truth About Cheating, marriage counselor M. Gary Newman found that 92% of men said that cheating wasn't about sex. The reasons men cheated on their spouses were often emotional, such as feeling disconnected from or underappreciated by their spouse. So you got to pay attention to your spouse. The only way to be certain about what you and your partner consider cheating is to have an honest conversation. So y'all need to come to the table and establish the rules. You know, it's not a game, but you need to establish rules. You know, the rules and everything that we do. So in a 1991 study, sex researcher Cherie Height found that 70% of married women have cheated on their partners. In a 1993 follow-up, the study found that 72% of married men have as well, according to a 2004 University of Chicago study, 25% of married men have had at least one extramarital affair. So, some of the myths about cheating, why people cheat. Cheating and affairs are more common among the rich and less common in conservative cultures. Those studies have found that the more money and celebrity men have, the more likely they are to cheat. Cheating is hardly the domain of just the rich and famous. Mr. Donald Cox from Boston College found that poor women are more likely to cheat than wealthy women. That's very interesting. Alfred Kinsey found that married men cheated at rates of around 50%. In 1953, Kinsey showed that 26% of married women also had been unfaithful. This is back in the day, so this cheating thing has been around a long time. Estimates today find married men cheating at rates between 25% and 72%. So, if you really love your partner, you'll remain faithful. Well, we are taught to value fidelity as the limit or test of a relationship and conditioned to feel victimized if someone cheats on us. Some people just cheat simply because they desire sex with someone else, even if they want to preserve their relationship. It has nothing to do with what you're not doing. I guess it's just what they want. You know, maybe they want, as someone said, apples instead of oranges. Anyway, 78% of the men interviewed cheated on their current partner. Only a handful said they cheated because they were near the end of their emotional relationship. So they were still emotionally connected to their spouse, but they still cheated. And women may respond to similar pressures, according to a 1999 study in the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships. 68% of female undergrads also cheat. So we generally agree on what counts as cheating. Nope. Right, we said that in the beginning. People do not agree on what is cheating because you have all types of relationships and arrangements in relationships, right? So back in Kinsey's day, cheating was, as I said in the beginning, simpler. Involved if you have sex, physical contact with someone else, sex with somebody else, you know, you cheated. So today we have pornography. We have a few erotic text messages. With the guy, Anthony Weiner. He showed pictures of his wiener. No pun intended, but he did. And we have the live internet sex show or camming. People, you know, not the professionals, that's just regular people, you know, being sexual on camera. Online sex via the webcam. So is your spouse, mate, wife, husband cheating if they interact with somebody sexually via the webcam? What do you think? They're not touching them, but they are being engaged, stimulated, and whatever. So others want to say it doesn't matter whether it's chat or camming, you're cheating, okay? Another myth. Let me see. Your partner won't stray as long as you keep your sex life exciting. Well, not quite. Spicing up the physical intimacy won't prevent cheating. Worse, buying into this myth makes the wrong individual blame themselves for the partner's infidelity. You didn't do enough. You didn't do it right. You're not good enough. So forth like that. So it's not you. You know, it just could be that your partner, as I mentioned previously, wants apples instead of oranges, pears instead of grapes. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? For most people, monogamy does not necessarily provide a lifetime of sexual content. Ooh, particularly true for youth who have grown up in a pornified culture. That's a hypersexual culture, pornified culture. They're exposed to all kinds of sexual activities without restraint and boundaries. So men in the study found themselves increasingly less interested in sex with their partners as months passed. Within 2 years, almost all of the subjects had cheated. So that doesn't mean anybody's going to do that. These people are just talking about the study and the group of people that they were monitoring. Most married people don't cheat. I don't know. In 1991, a study, sex researcher Sherry Heidegen found that 70% of married women have cheated on their partners. 1993 follow-up found that 72% married men had cheated as well. In 2004, University of Chicago study said 25% of married men have cheated at least once and had an extramarital affair. You said that. So we may need to investigate relationship models, open arrangements, or what sex columnist Dan Savage calls monogamous relationships in which couples have flings, affairs, and threesomes. These ways of loving, along with polyamorous relationships and even singlehood should be as equally valued. So some people have relationships where they are allowed to have a third party and it's not considered as cheating, that they both, everybody knows. So why married people cheat? So let's say upwards of 40% of married couples are impacted by infidelity. Most will say that cheating is wrong. You may never truly know why your spouse wasn't faithful. Your spouse may never truly understand it either. So reasons for cheating. Individual reasons such as a character or personality trait. Relationship reasons such as a relationship dissatisfaction. Situational reasons such as being in a situation that puts one at risk for cheating, given a prime opportunity. That sounds like sleeping in the bed with somebody, going on a trip with somebody of the opposite sex, or for you same-sex people, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? The same thing. So many people cheat after frustration in their marriage. The spouse has made several attempts to solve the problem to no avail, or the individual lacks the skill set to communicate feelings and needs to produce infidelity that precipitate infidelity. So you lack the skills to and feelings and needs that precipitate infidelity. So there are also some spouses to a lesser degree who do not value monogamy, lack empathy, or simply do not care about the consequences. So there's some people don't care. They're in relationships and they are going to be with other people. It's just that way. So, you know, why did they get married? I don't know. That's the end. But you need to do your homework when you meet somebody and you want to marry and you're going to consider them for marriage. You need to sit down at the table and talk about what marriage is for each one of you guys. So do your homework before you even get that deep into a relationship. Maybe that's one of the first conversations you need to have. It is critical to realize that if you were the one cheated on, you are not responsible. So, you know, you are not to blame for your spouse's behavior. You would want to explore how the dynamics between you and your spouse led to this point. Even if you're not to blame for your spouse's choice, you will want to fix the underlying problem in your relationship. So here's some commonly identified reasons why a spouse has an affair. Conflict avoidance, unresolved problem, sexless marriage or sexual dissatisfaction. Now, I kind of understand that, but I'm not married. But if you get married, you know, you guys didn't sit at the table and talk about what married life, what you want, how you want married life to look, and you just anticipate being a sexual, you know, relationship, more sex because you guys now are cohabitating if you weren't in, you know, at first. And then that relationship goes from great sex to some sex to no sex. That's like a shock right there. I can see the thinking there in that you know, situation. Sexual dissatisfaction. I don't know. What could that be? Maybe for people who've never had sex, or maybe they are marrying somebody who never could satisfy them, and therefore they could not, you know, wear their mask of being satisfied in that relationship and they go out to go meet somebody that can do it. So childhood baggage, people may have be promiscuous from anything that might have happened to something that might have happened to them as a child and sexually abused or something like that, or, you know, feeling unappreciated. Again, we talked about that attachment. You want to feel appreciated. So some people will go out to feel appreciated, and apparently they feel appreciated when they're having sex. Ego or arrogance. So you all know that. It makes you know, that's your ego. And arrogance, you're going to do what you want to do because you S-H-I-T. So opportunity. Some people, given opportunity, can't turn it down. Hey, she gave it away. Or, hey, nobody was there. He looked good. Blase, 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 blase. And, you know. excessive conflict. That's self-explanatory, being conflict. So you find somewhere else you can where there's no conflict and find comfort there. Career problems. That's interesting right there. Maybe a person has a job where you can sleep to the top, make lots of money. You never know. Looking for excitement or passion, boredom. Validate manhood or womanhood. You know, some people's interpretation of being a man might be how many women they can bed and how they bed them. Or maybe somebody's interpretation of being a woman might be the same thing, how many men are attracted to her and how she beds those men. Yeah, you know, how she takes them out sexually or satisfies them sexually, you know. So get a self-esteem boost. You know, hey, somebody might feel like they did something because they had sex with this particular person. As a way to end an unhappy marriage, an exit strategy. Well, that will end some marriages. And if it's an unhappy marriage, that might be the nail in the coffin right there. Fear of growing older. So apparently sex makes people feel younger. Feeling self-righteous. Something you feel that is all right if you do it. You know, it's no thing. I can do this. The thrill of the chase. You know, some people never get over the thrill of chasing the opposite sex. You know, desiring to sow the wild oats, which is the old saying. People just believe that that's what people do Some people until they find the right person, they just move from person to person. You know, so deep-seated unhappiness. So, you know, about dopamine and sex and through sexual relationship, you can get that dopamine rush. So if you have, if you're unhappy, you can feel good having good sex with somebody. I can't imagine all bad sex is going to help you give you that dopamine rush. Feel neglected. So you have somebody to pay attention to you sexually. Jealous of a new baby. And that's some deep stuff right there. So jealous of a new baby, so you act out sexually. You know, buyer's remorse and second thoughts after a wedding. Feeling trapped. You feel trapped, so you're going to step out. Insecurity. That's another form of stepping out. You're insecure with your relationship, so you step out. Revenge. Anybody, you know, you talk about revenge sex. A lot of people have been the beneficiary of revenge sex. You just end up with the right person at the right time, and before you know it, you end up having sex with that person because they're trying to hurt somebody else. They're trying to show somebody or get somebody back. Maybe their paramour messed around on them, so I'm going to do the same to him. I'm going to do the same to her. It's revenge sex. So, because you can. But we know that's all of it, because you can. A sense of entitlement. You know, some people feel they have an entitled to see other people. Financial pressures. So I'm not sure about how you're stepping out having sex because you have financial pressures, or unless that sex that you're having is going to relieve some financial pressures, or maybe you're just getting the dopamine rush. You know, for an hour or two of forgetting about your financial pressures. Hope that it's not sex for sale, but you never know. Escapism from daily life. And again, you can use sex as a means of escaping the trials and tribulations of daily life. If you're having good sex, and we're talking about good sex when I say sex, so. I'm thinking that anyway. So believe that he or she can get away with it. Some people will engage if they can get away with it. It has, you know, infidelity not high on their list. You know, if they feel they can't get away with it, they won't do it. It's not because of their moral integrity. It's because I don't want to get caught. Thoughts of being above the law, both morally and legally. I don't know what that means. but it could be above the law, it could be a statutory situation, and that's because morally and legally, because legally there's a statutory age for sex, and morally there's a age that morally that's morally acceptable. So, but you're going outside your marriage, that's a moral issue anyway. Lack of real consequences for similar actions. Looking for a one-night stand. Sex addiction. Beware of the sex addict. Anybody know that's self-explanatory? That's that person that cannot stop, no matter what. Marriage, child support, I guess some butt kicking is just not going to stop this person from doing what they are getting their, seeking to get their sexual needs fulfilled. Hormone changes. Okay, that's kind of natural. Long-term relationship outside of marriage. Selfish or self-centered. Chronic cheater. That's kind of like the sexual addicted person. Having an episode of mental illness or substance abuse. Personality disorder such as narcissistic or borderline. A cry for help. Some people are engaged in sexual activity outside of their marriage because they're crying for help. So, motivations for seeking an extramarital affair differ for genders. So, in general, men are seeking more sex. This author says men are seeking more sex or attention. Men express their love in a more physical way. They don't often have the perfect feeling words for their wives. So, sex becomes an important connection and intimacy. When the wives turn them down for sex, they feel rejected to heart, and it can easily translate to feeling unloved. So any men out there feel that way about sex? If your wife says no once or twice that you feel unloved, because I'm going to have to, it seemed to me that would have to be a period and take some investigation to see if wife is having some depression, some physical ailments. Is sex painful, or, you know, go through all that kind of stuff before you decide to step off, because you got to do some investigation on your marriage and your relationship is worth saving. So don't forget to do an investigation before you decide to make a decision like that. Call us if you want to speak, just press the number 1, okay? When women cheat, they say they're often seeking to fill an emotional void. So women frequently complain of disconnection from a spouse wishing to be desired, cherished. An affair is more often a transitional person for the woman. She is seriously looking to leave her marriage, and this other person helps her to do that. So they said if a woman cheats, she's ready to leave our marriage. Some women. None of this is absolute. Okay, because people treat a man and a woman can cheat for the same reason. So, regardless of the underlying reason, a spouse cheats, it can either devastate a marriage or be the catalyst for rebuilding it, depending upon how the infidelity is dealt with. It depends on how your individual deals with infidelity. On an individual basis also, because some people cannot deal with infidelity. Welcome, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Yes.
Hi. I'm just calling. You have really good information, and as you're talking and giving all these different scenarios, you know, it's like things I've, you know, heard about, read about. So I just wanted to add one more, and you may get into it later. And I've seen this on television where you have people wanting to have same-sex relationships, and they cheat for that reason. I've seen where, you know, men are married, and then they're, you know, going off having, you know, sexual relationships with other men. You know, they're on the down low. You know, maybe they don't come out because, you know, they have families and embarrassment. So that's just another point, you know, I was thinking about as you're talking. It's really good information.
Cheating with a twist. Okay.
Yeah.
So is that just men on the down low, or how's that go? Are you saying that only
I mean,
guys
to,
do
to
that,
me,
or?
I mean, just in my opinion, I think women are more, when they're feeling a same-sex relationship, they're more freer with it. I think men are more hiding it a little bit more, and I could be wrong. It just seems like women are, you know, when they feel that they're, you know, wanting to be with the same sex, that they're a little bit more freer and they're coming out with it than a man is. Maybe a man is, you know, like I said, they might feel embarrassed. They might have a wife and children and parents, and they don't want, you know, their families to know that they're, you know, sleeping with men.
So do women cheat on the down low? That's my question.
I'm sure they do. I know a few women who are gay and they're open about it. And in fact, one woman I know, she got divorced from her husband, and now she's in a same-sex relationship.
Right. So do you think that women are on the down low in heterosexual relationships also, and do the same that males do?
I think, and this is just my opinion, I think that women probably do stay on the down low, but I think that they're more freer than a man is. I think a man will stay on the down low a little bit more than a woman. And I could be wrong, but that's just, you know, my opinion. So I think men do it, they stay on the down low a little bit more than a woman does.
It's hard to tell who's on the down low.
I've seen a few women, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I know a couple others, you know, who have women who have children, and one minute they're tooting the horn of the man, and 6 months later they're having a relationship with a woman. So that just could be another, you know, reason why people cheat is, you know, they're in same-sex relationships. Maybe they don't want to come out, you know, to their families and publicly. It's really good information, though. A lot of scenarios as you're talking, you know, I'm thinking back on different situations that I've, you know, experienced through my life, friends, things you read about, things you see on television. So that's just all I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for calling the show.
You're welcome. Thanks so much.
We have another scenario. Why happily married women are cheating, by Nicola Gallagher for No More TV. She says research looked at 100 heterosexual married females between the ages of 35 and 45. And found that 67% of the women seeking an affair cited the desire for more passion. So these are married women, happily married women who are cheating. So I guess the question here becomes, how are you happily married if you're cheating? So the most predictable thing about a relationship is that the longer it progresses, the quality and frequency of sex between the couple will fade. Now, I heard that before. Never been married, so I can't call it. But that's something I heard about, that once you get married, the sex, you know, goes less on, you know. Anyway, this is Eric Anderson, co-author of the study and professor of masculinity, sexuality, and sport at the University of Winchester in England. So he says that we get used to and bored with the same body. The boredom of marriage drains intimacy and excitement. So that goes to the question I said originally. Are we naturally monogamous? Or do we learn not to be monogamous? Are we? What is, you know, what's going on here? Cheating with no plans to divorce. Many women lusting for extramarital intimacy have no intention of divorcing their husband. Rather than seeking multiple partners, women in the study exclusively wanted an affair with one man. A monogamous affair. show from Dr. Jane Greer, author of How Could You Do This to Me? Learning to Trust After Betrayal. She said that, she's a sex therapist, she said that they want to feel like they're special and adored. They tend to seek only one partner to fulfill that need. If their husband isn't meeting it, they look for Prince Charming, who makes them feel like a beautiful princess and can make them feel appreciated again. The woman only have affairs with one man because the need to feel emotionally connected in order to be satisfied sexually. So I guess they are emotionally disconnected from their husband. Therefore, the sex is just not that good. Or maybe both of them are emotionally disconnected and they need to go somewhere else. One or both of them. Men, on the other hand, tend to cheat with many women. So they're saying women cheat with one person, and now men, remember that saying, men are dogs. So this is kind of going in that direction. Cheat with many women, says there's less of risk of exposure when emotional connection doesn't come into play, according to Dr. Greer. So if you keep it moving, you kind of break that connection that you develop with a woman socially and sexually. So they cheat with many women. That doesn't always work, though. Men don't want to keep all their eggs in one basket. They'll cheat with multiple women so they don't become too vested, explains Dr. Greer. Lest there's a chance that the other woman will make demands on him to leave his spouse. So that's Jody. Okay. The implication of gender roles. Men are rewarded for having multiple sex partners. This is a double standard, some people call it, which Anderson notes as being a stud. Women, on the other hand, are stigmatized as sluts when they have multiple partners. So that might have an impact or influence on why women or women in the study were found to seek one person to add some value, even though they're being it's infidelity, but to add some resemblance of value to themselves and what they're doing. Because for them to sleep with many people, they would be perceived as lowly. Whereas the guy, he's the man, because he's putting all these women to bed. Anderson reasons that women only sleep with only one over many partners to avoid being deemed a slut. One way of telling themselves that they are not sluts is to say they're desiring monogamy with their infidelity. So, and that monogamy must have passion. So they're basically saying, yeah, I'm outside my marriage, but this is a little something I'm into. This ain't just, I'm just over here, got the ball of my feet up to the ceiling for a quickie with somebody. They're saying, this is something. It's a little something. So the question is, why even get married? Why get married if you're going to go out on your partner? So people have started to question whether traditional marriage even fits into the hustle and bustle of modern life. Because, modern life is a life where employment almost supersedes anything that you do. Employment, career, things like that. You have jobs that don't support rearing children, but you have children. You have different hours. Your spouse might be working in the day. You might be working in the night. You might catch her or him sometime in the middle of the night, early in the morning, whatever it is. You come home from work, you're tired, or whatever. You don't have any time to spend any quality time with your person, your husband, your wife, or person of interest. So I'm not going to leave people of interest out, because cheating is cheating. And, but for the marriage, it seems to, unless you have a contract with the person or understanding that, hey, look, we have an open marriage. It's okay for you to be with other people, and it's okay for me to be with other people. Then it sounds like, anything you do outside of your partner, husband, wife, will be deemed cheating and painful and won't stand well in the terms of the relationship. So that would tear some relationships apart. That may tear some people down. To avoid the monotony of marriage and the subsequent seeking of affairs, Dr. Greer stressed the importance of paying attention to your partner, hearing what your partner wants, especially sexually, will bring understanding to relationship and facilitate growth. You know, I wish Dr. Martin, see, I wish I had him on the show, because I would like to ask him, what if you're not willing to do some of the things that your partner wants you to do? What if it's just you can't do it? So, compromise is also extremely important. You might not want to bring the same thing to the bedroom, but it's important. Listen to the needs of your partner. And if you're the one craving to heat things up, it's important to communicate your desires with your partner. And, I mean, if you can do that, it's all good. But if you can't, and if you refuse to because, you know, your partner wants it, you don't like being tied up, or you think food only belongs on the kitchen table, or whatever kind of, you know, gig she might have for you or he might have for you. Okay, so are we meant to be monogamous? Why people cheat and the appeal of open relationships? We briefly spoke about open relationships, that some people are married and have an open relationship. Their spouse, partner, paramour, husband, wife can see other people and have sex with them. So, up until 200 years ago, couples generally married for proof of genetic monogamy in order to pass down their sheep or their farmland. That's their wealth back in those days. So this monogamy was necessary to ensure that no one cheated outside of the family line and that property ownership stayed within the male lineage. So if that's not my son, that means Joe Blow kid has my land, my cattle, and so forth like that. So now Joe Blow people can inherit my stuff, my wealth. So today we marry not only to share property, but for love and desire. Just to expound on that, I had spoken with my friend today, and he said that some people don't marry for love. They marry for the wrong reasons, which leads to infidelity. You marry for financial security. You marry for, I don't know, sex. Maybe even you just marry somebody for sex, and you don't have that constitution, that foundation, or the belief, or moral, ethical, or standard of infidelity. If you in a marriage and you have no intention on being monogamous, they have the bachelor party, bachelorette. I don't know about the bachelorette parties. I assume they have guys there too. You know, you had the guys, the sexual guys come in there, dance. You had the sex dolls come in, and they do their thing, you know, gyrating. And I don't know, maybe the groom wants to have his last fling, the so-called last fling. But if you're having your last fling a week or a night before you get married, you are not ready to get married and be monogamous. So, maybe some people can't do that, but you know, I think that would be considered a technical foul for a lot of people. So, but then again, for some people, if you have that arrangement, it's okay for you to do that with the during your pre-marriage party, bachelor party, bachelorette party, or something. You had no problem. But if you didn't work that out with your wife or husband to be, you have big problems and you get attacked. And your marriage is on the rocks before you even get it started. So today we marry, you know, for love, not only to share property, but for love and desire. So we have the economic stability and somebody that's want to be with you and want to have sex with you. They care about you and they want to be sexual with you. So second marriage lasts only third of the time of the first, and the third marriage are even less successful. So the more you get married, the less successful The statistics say that the marriage is so. Almost 60% of men and over 45% of women will cheat at some point in their marriages. Not trying to discourage anybody from getting married, you know, but this is a statistic here. It says affairs affect one out of every 2.7 couples, which is almost one-third of all of us. So what is it going on? You know, what's happening here? So some say it's a high from the dopamine that is released from lying and hiding. Some say it's purely the opportunity. But there are as many reasons to cheat as there are people. Oh, we have a caller. I'm sorry. I'm just getting, you know. Hello, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, good evening, Carlton. This is Kenny Jones. How you doing?
Kenny Jones. What's up, my brother?
All right. Well, I got 2 points. You know, the one point is, you know, Western countries lead the world in divorces.
Right, 50%.
Yeah, and I just want to know, I mean, if you examine other cultures, in other societies, you know, a man can marry more than one woman. In answer to your question, are we made to be monogamous? I mean, even if people look in their holy books, you know, there was more than one wife. It went about your status or your income and what have you. So it was, it documented that, European societies is the one that developed that monogamous marriage. Okay, fine. Since we live in the United States, let's look at the monogamous marriage. Second of all, like, do people understand their vows? You know, or are they just up there going through the ceremony and want to throw the flower up in the air and have their reception? And driving a limo or Rolls Royce or whatever, you know. But if you look at the ceremony, you know, you listen to the words what the preacher is saying, or the court, the judge, or whoever is giving the ceremony. I don't think people understand some of the commitments of marriage.
Well, that's why we
have this problem. I mean, and let's forget about one, the monogamy of it all. I mean, we got to question ourselves. Are we in the right, I guess, relationship system? You know, the marriage, you know, are we doing it right? Because if we were doing it right, we won't even have problems. Hey, just look at the couple that been married for 35, 40, 45, 50 years. They
right.
Keep in separate bedrooms after a while. Most couples, it's like there's this record that said, it's cheaper to keep her.
Right.
You know, they don't want to get a divorce because they got to pay alimony, child support, and they got a new girl, they got to take care of her, and what have. So it's cheaper to keep her. You know, so I don't know about this. Are we really made to be one-on-one
monogamous?
Marriage? Yeah, monogamous. You know, I really don't know. I question it because so many people are having problems with it. Just it happened recently. It's been happening for centuries. You know, people have been having difficulties with this monogamy, marriage.
So, you think that is it an ethical standard, the absence of an ethical moral standard, or a hypersexual atmosphere, creating hypersexual individual who maybe cannot or do not have that much control over their sexual allergies?
I think all of us are sexual beings. I think all human beings crave sexual contact. I think all human beings want intimacy. I think when you step out on your spouse, and if it's a union, whether it's common law or going to the religious center and getting married, I don't care where it is, you know, you're making a contract. It's a contract between two individuals that they're going to do their part to do what they have to do to honor their union. And I think people forget the reason why they was attracted to that person. You know, there was one stat you read where most women feel that they're neglected. And when you first get into a relationship or a marriage, everything is so wonderful the first 90 days to 6 months. Then the real person.
Honeymoon period.
Yes, the honeymoon period, right. It's supposed to be a year, right? Now I see why they call it
the honeymoon. Yeah, it's supposed to be a year. And a 7-year itch. You got a year for the honeymoon and a 7-year itch.
Yeah, the 7-year itch. Yeah, and I think people forget why they were attracted to each other. And I think, when, like you said, the economy that we live in, you know, one spouse is working a full-time job and a part-time job. The other spouse is working a full-time job and take care of the kids. They don't have time to be intimate as they were prior to the kids, or when they only had one kid, or when they were a little younger. I mean, it's just the grind of keeping the family together in this economic system. It could really be challenging to a lot of the two millions of couples. Like I said, you know, people forget, and you know, their decisions for better or worse. You know, you have to stick with your partner. And I mean, people get married 4, 5, 6, 7 times. It's ridiculous to me. I think they take marriage as a joke.
As a relationship. Just a simple relationship. It's not a simple relationship.
Right. It's not, marriage is not, you know, when you're living with someone or married to someone, it's not a relationship. It's a partnership. It's like I said, it's a contract between two individuals, you know, to build something, to make progress, not in one life but in both of their lives. If one get a promotion, it's like the family got the promotion, the couple got the promotion. It's no more, and I think people forget, it's no more I in the relationship. It's a we. It's a we thing now. It's your thing. Right. And I think people just take for granted, because years ago it used to be difficult to get a divorce. Now, divorce is a dime a dozen.
You get a divorce from the store, huh?
Yeah, you get a divorce for $9.99 special. You know, so.
Well, that speaks to the integrity of the marriage.
Right.
Of the state of being married and the integrity of the individuals that are actually getting married. It depends on who they were before they get married. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. But everybody.
So that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. If you was a grimy, nasty person before the marriage, guess what? That's a part of your personality. You're a nasty, grimy person within the marriage.
That's who you married, right?
Yeah. If you're an abusive individual, whether it be verbally, emotionally, physically, financially, or you just want that power over someone, you're going to be like that in the marriage too. You know, so really, you have to really examine the whole theoretical marriage concept. Like, you know, that is a very difficult question. What is marriage? Because everybody has their own definition of marriage. Different generations have their
apparently
own.
Apparently so.
Yeah. Have their own definition and meanings of marriage. You know, like,
so what do you think?
Like, what do I think?
Yeah, you think, can you marry a player? Is that safe?
If you don't,
or is that foul ball?
Can you marry a player, a football player or a player of women?
No, a player, a player as a person who frequents many relationships, is not monogamous, not known to be monogamous, and prides himself on not being, had prided himself on not being monogamous. Player.
Well, I'll go say this. If you keep on dealing with different women or men, somebody gonna snatch you up. Somebody eventually is going to snatch you up. I don't care. You may not be looking for it. It always happens when you're not looking for it. And guess what? Usually, when you're interested in that person, oh, wow, I found somebody that I could really vibe with, that person may not want you. And she might be the play yet, you know? She may be a player also. So can you marry a player? Yes, you can. I think everyone at one point of time in their life cycle wants to settle down. They might give it one shot. If that doesn't work, guess what? They're going back to the old days when they were players. Marriage is a complex thing. It's a complex system. You got to look at the culture. You got to look at the age. You got to look at, you know, you got to look at the income status, financial status, the structure. You know, it's a very difficult system to examine. Yeah. So that's basically what I had to say. Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate you calling. Let me hit you with this real quick.
Yeah.
We're about to go off.
Yeah.
I said they did this research with these bowls, right? These are like little mice-like things, right? But they said that the female bowl had more receptor inhibitors for the brain chemical oxytocin, the hormone that is connected to pair bonding. Vasopressin and oxytocin affect pair bonding, and the inhibitors create a resistance to pair bonding. So that bowl, they found that bowl was not loyal because it you know, these things exist. So when a woman is stressed, is there a chemical reaction that makes her more susceptible to cheating?
I got to really look at that science data more,
right.
My first time hearing that.
Right.
Women cheat also. I mean, look, you know, a lot of people said, you know, well, her mother was like that, her grandmother was like that, her great-great-grandma was like that. It's in her DNA. She can't help it.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't buy that. You know, I think it's how you was raised, your environment, your value system. You know, some people some people are just really, some people are serious about it, but I think as American society in the 21st century, we're not serious about marriage as a total society.
All right, we got 5 seconds and we off the air, Kenny.
All right. All right, man.
Hey, thanks
See
for calling.
Later.
Everybody stop. Thank you, brother. Thanks for listening.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Stay tuned next week for Provocative Thought PT. And hope everybody have a safe weekend. Thank you.